Folks, it's good to be back with you. Good to see you this morning. Somebody say, Pastor, good to see you too. Hey, I've already been told y'all didn't miss me too much. That means my folks are doing a good job. Amen. I'm so thankful for the staff that we have. I am thankful that God has blessed us. If I haven't told you lately, let me tell you, we are blessed with one of the greatest staff, and this is the best staff that I have ever had. I've been a pastor for 44 years. Long time. And I got to tell you, I am blessed with the best staff that I have ever had, and I'm thankful to God. Amen. I remember the very first church that I was serving in as pastor, and I said, God, this church is growing so fast, I need some help. Well, we got some help, and I said, God, if you'll take them back, I'll never complain again. You know, staff can be more problems than help sometimes. I just got to tell you, Lord, thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Amen. So thank you. I'm looking around trying to find the faces of, thank you. Bless your hearts for being loving and caring and serving and working and giving. Wow, what a blessing. Would you turn with me to 1 John? We are back in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. How would you like to have assurance? Assurance of God's blessing, assurance of God's love, assurance of God's salvation. Listen, we are looking at the Word today, and John, under God's inspiration, is giving us an understanding of assurance this day. Did you know that John, and let's do a quick recap just so you know where we're at as you're finding 1 John chapter 3. John has laid out a series of characteristics for believers and some characteristics that show who is a non-believer. And the difference between Satan's kids, The difference between Satan's kids and God's children is very distinct. Amen? There are some things that you just can't miss. Satan's children are characterized by being self-centered. They don't love others with a true love. They're indifferent to the needs of others. They object to God's truth. Hello? Satan's children don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear God's truth. And they not only object to the truth of God, they object to the children of God because they share the truth of God. Now, in contrast to that, we know that God's children will actually show genuine love and care for each other. Amen? If you're not showing genuine love and care for each other, you better check your title papers to see to whom you belong. Because God's children will show genuine love, not just to believers, but they are especially to believers, but to non-believers also. And that is not easy to do in a world that tends to object to you and hate you. And yet, throughout Scripture, God commands us, even though it's hard, to love other people. How good a job are you doing? Listen, we need God's help. Amen. In Romans chapter 12, let me read this to you real quick. You know this scripture. Even before we head into 1 John, the scripture tells us, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then it follows that. It says, and right after that, now that's a scripture that you know pretty well, but listen to what it says following that. Be in verse 10 and 13. That was verse 1 and 2 of chapter 12. But verse 10 through 13 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, and distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. He's saying, listen, he said, I'm telling you that you need to be a personal, living sacrifice to do all of these things for one another. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I find those things a little difficult to do, especially to those people who don't seem to want to love me back. And yet God's word says, this is your call, even if they don't. Wow. You see, the essential characteristic of a true Christian, of a true believer, a born-again believer, is love. That's why Yahweh, our Lord, our God, is called the God of love. Now, not the love in the way that we see fit, right? Because, listen, we have our own definition of what love is. You know, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. You love me and I'll love you back. But that's not the way that God sees it. We don't, or are not called to love as we want to love, and as we see fit, but as Christ sees fit. You remember in John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus said, you must love one another. But then he qualified it. He said, you must love one another as I have loved you. Now, wait a minute. I can love people the way that I can do it. But love the people the way that Christ did it? I'm going to need some help. Anybody else? Anybody else need some help? Time and time and time again, Scripture tells us that Christian love is not sentiment. It's not just sentimental mush. It's not just going around and patting each other on the back and hugging each other. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's not just going around and saying, I love you. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. It's more than that. Real godly love expresses itself in action, in doing. Until our brand of Christian love does that, then it's just hypocrisy, not godly love. If it's just love that talks instead of love that does, it's hypocrisy. That's what John meant in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, when he said, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in what? Deed and truth. In what? Deeds and truth. That means do stuff and tell them the truth and why you're doing the stuff. Scripture states very, very clearly that self-sacrificing love is required of all believers. It may or may not be necessary for us to give up our lives, but it is absolutely necessary that we give up our substance. Christianity, dear friends, if I have told you this once, I've told you close to 1,000 times over the last 16 years as your pastor. Christianity is a love relationship. It's a love relationship with God. And that very love is the paternity test. Love is the paternity test. If God is truly our Father, we will love God and we will love people. So folks, there's your recap of chapter 3, and let's finish it up. Would you stand with me in honor of reading this morning's passage? 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. We just read, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And we pick up right there at verse 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Wow, there's a lot here. We're going to cover it pretty quickly today. So much good. Would you pray with me? Father, help us not to miss one thing. Would you reiterate to our heart the truth of your word that love makes a difference, that abiding in you makes a difference for us to love, and that you abiding in us by your Holy Spirit makes even more difference for us to be able to love. Father, we pray that our brand of love would not be of the world, but it would truly be of you through your Holy Spirit, so that we might love others as Christ Jesus truly loved us. We ask for your help in this, Father, because we know we need it. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? So we're talking about love, but one of the things that love brings, according to this scripture, is assurance to our own hearts. He said there, listen, he said, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Now, by this we know what? If we love not in just word, but in deed and in truth, when we love people in deed and in truth, then we know that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God. In other words, we get heart assurance by being obedient to the word of God. Now, there are several things here that John has given us as indicators of our salvation. You go back to chapter 1 and chapter 2 and part of chapter 3. And he said that our hearts need to seek diligently the righteousness of God. And then that we abide with him, we stay with him, we seek him. He said that we need to desire his commands, that we confess Jesus Christ as God. All these things are requirements, because if you're not doing these things, he's saying that the truth isn't in you. He said, don't love the world and don't lust the world. He said, instead, love God's people. Amen? And love God's truth. Now, these things that he's saying, and man, that's a quick recap of three chapters, but these things literally attest to the world that we are Christians. But it also attests to our own hearts. Folks, if you wonder, have you ever wondered, you said, you know, am I truly saved? Listen, these are characteristics for you to know to whom you belong. When you do these things, they attest not just to the world, but to your own heart that you belong to the Father. It's a paternity test. I mean, doesn't the word say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, by your what? Your love for one another. He said, all the world's going to know it, but now he's saying, you're going to know it too. Now John speaks of an additional assurance. Look at verse 19 again. Look at it with me. He said, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Living the truth brings an assurance that you're in the truth. Now, you're going, that's repetitive. Yes, it is. If you're living in the truth, you will know that you're in the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Folks, abiding in Christ, living in Christ, obeying Christ brings greater assurance to your heart of your own salvation. When you live with the Lord, you know him better. Has Satan ever put a doubt in your heart? Has Satan ever come against you and said, oh, you're not really saved. Oh, you don't really belong to God. Oh, you don't really love the Lord. Look at what you do sometimes. Listen, if he's not attacking you, I wonder, are you really an enemy of his? Because he always attacks the enemy. Listen, can I tell you, doubt always comes when you're not abiding in Christ. when you're not staying with him. It's the daily living the love of God in your life that confirms the truth of God in your life. So you're wondering, well, I'm just really struggling. Listen, if you'll get obedient and you'll live in Christ, those struggles will continue, but they'll be different. You won't worry about, am I truly saved? You'll be worrying about, how do I do more? How do I get through this? Folks, I've been at the bedside of many, many people who knew they were dying. I've been with them literally when they took their last breath many times. Some were confident and they were ready because they knew that they knew that they knew that they belonged to Jesus Christ and that when they left this life that they were literally going to be in the arms of Jesus. And I have been with others who were unsure and were afraid. Now, both claim to be Christians, both church members. Both sides saying, yes, I've made a profession in faith in Christ. But some were sure and one were not. What makes the difference? What made one heart so confident to say, I'm ready to go? And the other saying, I'm just not sure, I'm afraid. What made the difference? Both claimed to be in Christ. Both talked the talk. Both talked the truth. But the confident actually lived it every day of their life. Those who had confidence lived with Jesus every day of their life. They used their life substance for God and for God's people. And those people didn't have any doubt. The testimony of those confident saints is such a blessing. As you head to your deathbed, and someday you will you have the kind of assurance that I have seen in the saints of God who said, I know that I know that I know. Lord Jesus, come soon. Come and get me. That kind of testimony is such a blessing to the family and those around. Now listen, I don't want to puff you up. You know what the Bible says, don't be puffed up. Puffed up with pride. I don't want to puff you up, but I do want to fan your fire a little bit, okay? Is it okay if I fan your fire? Hello? Everybody needs their fire fanned every now and then. I'm going to tell you this. This church, Grace Point Fellowship Baptist Church, has been such a blessing to me and to many others because of the wonderful testimony in this matter. I have seen so many times the people of this church giving of themselves, giving of their substance to help one another. I see it in so many ways. I see how you love and how you care. I see how you give and as you help. I see you feed people that are down. I see you visit people that are hurting. I see you helping with homes, whether it's a porch or electricity or a yard or a driveway or a roof that's caving in. Listen, I have seen it so many times, and I am so glad. I am so glad to be a part of a church that puts up so they don't have to shut up. Because isn't that the phrase? Put up or shut up? Listen, I am so thankful that we have men and women who love and care and serve in so many ways. All right, I'm not trying to puff you up. I'm just fanning your fire, okay? Let me fan the fire so that you can cook some more. So here we are. If you are a child of God who is using your substance, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're somewhere in between, folks, if you are using your substance for God to get God's word out and to love his people, then God is going to give you an assurance in your heart that you are in his will and that you are accomplishing what he has called you to do. He'll give you that confidence. He will give you that assurance. But wait, there's more. I love those commercials. I hate them and I love them. But wait, there's more. There is more. When our life, when your life manifests these things that John is talking about here, we will have assurance not only that God is in us and that we belong to God, but we will have a confidence in prayer. Look at verse 19 again. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Now, does that mean that when He returns? Yes. But it also means before He returns, because He has given us the privilege to enter the throne room of the Almighty God in prayer. Amen? Have you ever gone to prayer and when you prayed, you felt like your prayers were bouncing off the ceilings right back at you? Anybody? Anybody? Everybody? Has there been times where you felt like, God's just not hearing my prayers? Well, listen, He's saying that if you will do and be what He's called you to do and be through His love of others, through sharing your substance with each other, who you are and what you have, yes. He says, when you do this, He said, the lid is taken off in prayer. The roof just opens up. Because your heart opens up to God and God hears your prayer. If you are a child of God using your substance, He says that your prayers become more effective. We can have assurance before the Lord in our prayer. Doing and being and living the life that God calls us to live brings a power, a confidence, and an assurance to our prayers. You said, man, I wish I could just be a prayer warrior like so-and-so. Then live your life obedient to God like so-and-so. Amen? That's what we need to do. And prayer, dear friends, when we have that power in prayer, when we have that confidence in prayer, when we have that assurance in prayer, we realize that prayer is the power source for every other part of our life. I need a new phone. My wife says, you don't need a new phone, you just need to learn to use one you got. But it won't charge up every now and then. Are you with me? Anybody have that problem? I get up, I plug my phone in the night before, and listen, I keep my phone on me so that you can contact me. I keep it on all the time. Well, I picked it up a couple of days ago, and it was at 1% in the morning. I'm going, I grumbled. No, the phone. You know what I found out? You know exactly what happened. I plugged it in, but you know what? It wasn't connected. I plugged in, but the power wasn't coming through. Boy, what a great example. God, I got no power. God, I got no use. I don't feel the power. I don't feel the strength. I don't feel the word. I just don't. He says, then get connected. I don't know what it's going to take, but maybe we need to get connected on both sides and just hang on to God until we get fired back up again. But folks, that power in prayer comes when we are obedient to God in our daily walk. And that's what the scripture is saying here. When we live our lives according to these things, the assurance comes in prayer. But wait, there's even more. We alluded to it a moment ago. John said that when Christ appears, there's going to be an assurance there as well. We have an assurance of whom we belong. We have an assurance and confidence in prayer, and we have an assurance that when He comes, we won't be ashamed. John said that believers have two options. Believers, this is not unbelievers, but believers, those who are Christians, have two options. First, if our lives manifest the things that John is talking about here, all the things that he's talked about in 1 John, when we manifest these things, then we will have a confidence and our hearts will be assured when the sky breaks open and Jesus is coming down. And when he appears, we won't go, oh no! But instead we'll be going, oh yeah! Are we ready? Paul had that assurance when he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's a second option for believers, and that is, as a believer, we're all talk and no do. And you go back and look in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. What happens to those who are all talk and no do? He says that we will be ashamed at his appearing. A lot of people are talking about the return of Jesus. Have you noticed? There's a lot of folks talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. A lot of people talking, but not a lot of people doing. When we come before the Almighty King of Heaven, he is going to demand to see some fruit. He's going to say, what have you done with my son? What have you done with the message of my son? Where's the fruit? Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? Keep my what? Commandments. John 14, 15. Well, one of his commandments that we get is that we get his word out to the world. Right? Is that what we call the Great Commission? There it is on the wall. Go and make disciples. Preaching, teaching the word of God. Not just here, but abroad and into the whole world. So one of those things that we are to be doing is that we get his word out to all the world. Have you done that? Will you do that? What are you doing in that? Another one is that we love God and that we love people in both deed and truth. There it is in 1 John. We've read it several times. Are you doing that? Do you participate in anything of God's work? Do you pray? Do you support the ministries? Do you stand for his truth? Do you witness for him? Are you involved in anything that reveals that you're a child of God? And so, he says that our obedience brings assurance. You feel thoroughly beat up yet? But wait. There's more of that. I've got some more. I'm thankful for this next thought, that God is greater than our hearts. Amen. Look at verse 20. He says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And he knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. So what is this verse saying? God is greater than our hearts. What if we haven't really been obedient? What if we haven't really been serving like we should? What if we know we could have done so much better? What if we lose our assurance of our salvation or our assurance in prayer? Does that mean that we've lost our salvation or that we never had it? No. Folks, when we belong to Christ, when we are believers, when we are his children, we belong to him. He holds on to us. Nothing can snatch us from his hand, he said. But if because of our sin, our heart condemns us, and it does, doesn't it? We feel guilty when we don't do right. We feel guilty when we're not serving God as we should. But if because of our sin, our hearts condemn us, the scripture here is saying that God is greater than our hearts. Our hearts condemn us, but God does not. Any amens? God is greater than our hearts. In other words, he is greater than our own lack of assurance. And although we fail God, he will not fail us. God is always faithful. God never leaves us or forsakes us. Many believers come to God very, 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 very empty-handed. Hello? There are going to be a lot of folks who stand before God, and they're going to have nothing to put on the altar to say, God, here's my service. Or they're going to have very little. They have nothing for God, and they have done little of nothing for God. But praise God. God is greater than our heart. God is greater than our life. He will hear your prayer if you call in faith. Now here, let me tell you this. He will deal with your sin. He will deal with us like a loving father should and would. He'll deal with our sin. But he's going to hear your prayer. And he's going to answer according to his will. You see, God knows you. And God loves you. And God knows when you are sincere, and God knows when you're not. And when you sincerely say to him, God, that I want to do, I don't. And that I don't want to do, I do. God, I struggle. I really want to serve you, but I'm struggling. He knows when you're honest, and he knows when you're sincere. And even if you're weak, he still will not abandon you, he's saying. God is greater than your heart. He's greater than my heart. So thank the Lord our God that he is greater than us. Now I want you to look and see what he says next here. Look at verse 22. He says, and whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now do you see the how to for the what to? He says, whatever we ask, we receive of him. That's the what, but how's the how to it? How? Because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Whatever we ask, he said, is done when we are obedient to him. Here's the thing, I'm going to say it one more time. Love in action gives assurance to our prayers. Love of whom? First and foremost, God the Father, amen? If you love the Lord, your prayers become different. When you love yourself, your prayers are all, Lord, I need, Lord, I want, Lord, do this, Lord, do that, and it becomes this Christmas list of saying, God, gimme, 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 gimme. And yet when we love the Lord, our prayer changes, and it's, God, how can I give this? God, how can I serve? God, what can I do? How can I honor you? How can I serve you? You see how the prayer changes? And when you love yourself, you say, God, them other people, I want them to do better by me. God, I want them to do better for me. God, I want them to love me and take care of me, and I want them to act right with me, and so on and so on. But when you love them, and you love God, your prayer changes again. And it's no longer, God, what can they do for me? But, God, what can I do for them to serve you? That's how our prayer changes, when we love the Lord and we love other people. We ask very differently when we ask out of the love of God and the love of others. Because abiding in him and loving him tempers our prayer and makes our prayers what they ought to be and not what we want them to be. Once again, we are told that we are to love others the way that Jesus loved us. And our prayers should be like Christ, not our own. Quit doing it our way. Do it God's way. And when your life is pleasing to God, folks, you can expect him to hear your prayers and answer your prayers. Let me give you a good example from Scripture. Many good examples. Just one came to thought in mind here. And if you go back and look in Acts chapter 4, you can read the whole story on this. But when the early church was being persecuted, they were serving God. They were preaching Jesus Christ. And when they were preaching and teaching the truth, they were persecuted literally unto death. They were being slaughtered, fed to the lions, murdered on the streets, coated in tar and used on the streets for torches to light the Roman roads. That's the thanks. That's the payment they got for preaching and teaching the truth. And the apostles were warned, you quit preaching about this Jesus. If you don't, we're going to lock you up, we're going to beat you unto death, and then we're going to kill you. That's what's going to happen to you. And so the apostles took this warning, and they went back to the church. And I wonder if they brought, if they came back to our church today, how we would pray. But the scripture says that they literally went to God in prayer, and Acts chapter 4, verse 24 through 30 records their prayer. Now, what did they pray? Did they say, God, stop this persecution? God, we pray that they would get saved. But Lord, we don't want to die, so Lord, would you just stop this persecution and make it easier for us to be able to be Christians in this world today? Is that what they prayed? You know better. They began their prayer by saying this, the very first words of their prayer, Lord, you are God. They weren't God. The church wasn't God. Their situation wasn't God. They said, Lord, you are God. In other words, that what they said was, God, what do you want to do? And as they began to pray, they prayed for a determination that they would do what God called them to do. And they prayed for a boldness to speak his word in the persecution, not for the persecution to stop. And because they prayed, Lord, you are God. And because they bent to his will, the scripture says God shook the house that they were in and filled them with the Holy Spirit. When's the last time God shook your house? This is what's absent in too many of our churches today. Amen? It's absent in our church in so many ways. Believers have lost their assurance. Believers, not unbelievers, believers have lost their assurance. Our Heavenly Father is God. And we've lost that assurance. It is God that runs this universe. Amen? Are we worried about the government? Are we worried about those outside? Are we worried about the people? Or are we going to worry more about what God thinks and what God says? We've forgotten that God is in charge and that we are here to obey his will and to bring him glory in spite of any persecution, not around it. Now look at the command that follows verse 22. Look at verse 23. Look at this command that that follows that. And he says, whatever you ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And now look at that next verse. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. You know what he's saying? He's saying here, don't say you believe me. Don't say you're a believer and then not love one another. He's saying this is a commandment that we should believe on Jesus and love one another. He said, "There, you can't separate the two. You can't praise Jesus with one breath and berate a brother or sister in the next." Now listen, if you're one of those Christians, along with me, that says, sometimes I struggle with that, then good, you're honest. Not good that you do it, good you're honest. Because, folks, no one is able to do this except by the Spirit of God. That's what he said. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. He has given us his Spirit, the Helper, to accomplish in us what he calls us to do. Every true believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And praise be to God, the Holy Spirit will not only verify God's truth in you, but he will verify his salvation in you. And again, the very work that God calls you to do, he will accomplish in you because his Holy Spirit will give you the strength to do it. Have you ever failed? Of course you have. Have you ever struggled? Of course you have. Have you ever done it right in your own power? No, you haven't. If you ever accomplished anything of spiritual good, it was only because God the Father's Holy Spirit reigned and abided in you, and you abided in him, and it was accomplished with God's help. Now, I'm not saying there aren't a lot of works out there that are being done in your own power, but folks, those are the ones that are burned up. So those are ones that don't accomplish anything. Only by the Holy Spirit of God can we accomplish anything. And thank you, Lord, you not only indwell us, but you indwell us for the purpose to say, here's my commands, get out there and do it. We're going. But his Holy Spirit gives us that strength. That's where the power remains. In him. For him. Through him. Pray with me. Can I pray over you right now? Pray this prayer. God, I want it. God, I need it. God, I am ready for it. Give his Holy Spirit permission to fill you, to anoint you, to strengthen you, to empower you to do his will. Confess your faults to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness, and then say, God, fill me that I might do better. And then abide in him. Right now, pray and say, God, I want to abide in you. I want to stay in you. I'm going to start practicing the obedience so that I have greater power in prayer. I'm going to struggle, Lord, that I might be obedient so that I could verify your truth in me to others. God, that is our prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the strength to accomplish what you call us to in your Holy Spirit. Fill us, Father. We're a leaky people. God, we lose the power throughout the day. Help us, Lord, to be filled. And help us, Lord, would you in your Holy Spirit to stop the leaks that we might be filled and remain filled. In Jesus' name, we pray.